Namo Most venerable Bhikkhu Sangha, venerable Tilashi, Dhamma friends, my Dhamma sons and Dhamma daughters, a very good opportunity that we are here in this Dhamma line and in this Vihara, where university of Buddha's teaching is developing. Buddha's teaching for the whole world. Buddha's teaching is for the whole world. It is wrong to say that Buddha's teaching should be followed by the Buddhists. Yes, they have to follow. But Buddha never gave the teaching for any particular sect, particular group of the society. His teaching was universal. His teaching was non-sectarian. And that is why we find the entire Tipitaka and the entire Attakathas, Tikas, Anutikas, the word Buddhism is missing. The word Buddhist is missing. In Pali or Sanskrit, the language of those days, for Buddhism and Buddhist, the word would have been Bodha. The word Bodha is missing. His teaching, he never said as Bodha Dhamma. His followers, he never said them Bodha. He told his teaching as Dhamma. And those who follow were called Dhammiko, Dhammi, Dhamma Vihari. These were the words used. The word Buddhist, the word Buddhism was never used. Never used till even 500 years after Buddha. We are making a search now with all the literature available of the past. This word came up only later on. Good, nothing wrong in that. But understand, the main teaching, the real teaching of Buddha is universal. If we call it Buddhism, then it will be for Buddhists only. As Hinduism is for the Hindus, Christianity for the Christians, Islam for the Muslims. This should not be taken as a teaching limited to a particular group of the society, a particular sect, a particular community. Oh no, he taught Dhamma. The universal law of nature, a way of life, code of conduct, how to live peacefully and harmoniously within and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for the atmosphere outside, so that others can also live in peace and harmony. This is the teaching. It is for one and all. Last 2 days, we were discussing about sila, morality. We were discussing about samadhi, concentration of mind. Today, time is short, but whatever it is, we try to understand panya, wisdom, insight, total purification of the mind. Se chitta pariyodhapanam. This word pariyodhapanam has to be noted. He never said vodhapanam. Vodhapanam is purity. Not purify the mind. Purify the totality of the mind. No trace of impurity should remain. And that is the beauty of Buddha's teaching. He gives a technique which helps us to purify the totality of the mind. Between one Sammasambuddha and another Sammasambuddha, there is a very big gap. Very big gap. And therefore the words of Buddha keep on lingering. Many times the meaning is lost, gets polluted. The practice is lost, gets polluted. And then another Sammasambuddha arises to establish Dhamma in its pristine purity. So Sila was there, but he gave the depth of the teaching of Sila. Samadhi was there. He gave it the depth of Samadhi. Even Panya was there. But the depth was given by Buddha to make it complete. And that is why he said, the Dhamma taught by me is keval paripunnam, paripunnam, complete, nothing to be added, not necessary to add anything, it is complete. Keval parisuddham, totally pure, there is nothing in it. We should be taken out saying this is impure, this should be taken out. No such thing. Keval paripunnam, keval parisuddham. That teaching is the teaching of an enlightened one. Discussing about sila, morality. It was there, as I said, because I was born in a very staunch conservative family of another tradition. I am glad that I was born there because I got the base of spirituality. And another thing, I got the understanding of the tradition of that particular community, the psyche of that particular community, the philosophy of that particular community. And when I came to Buddha's teaching, although with little hesitation, but I came and studied it and got benefit from it, then I had an opportunity to make a comparative study. That helped me. If I had not passed through that tradition, I would not have been able to make proper comparative study. This comparative study does not mean that I am here to condemn other traditions. The only reason is that we must know the beauty of Buddha's teaching. In morality, as I said the other day, when you live a moral life, that means you don't kill, you don't steal, you don't have sexual misconduct, you don't speak lies or harsh words, you don't get intoxicated. They are there. They were there. But the whole idea was not to harm other beings. You must observe Sila so that you don't disturb the peace and harmony of other beings. You don't harm, you don't hurt other beings. True, good. Buddha went to the depth of Sila. When you are breaking Sila, you are not just obliging the society, you are not just obliging others, you are not harming them, you are obliging yourself. You are not harming yourself. And he went to the depth and explained, you can't break a Sila without generating defilement in the mind. Every unwholesome action, physical or vocal, starts with a mental action. If the mind is pure, you can't perform unwholesome action. All actions will be automatically wholesome. If the mind is impure, then only you perform unwholesome actions. So you have to generate some impurity or the other in the mind to perform unwholesome action at the physical level, at the vocal level. And then he trained people, his teaching trained people to feel what is happening within themselves. This is a great discovery of Buddha. You feel what is happening within you. What sensations are there? And you will notice that every time you generate a defilement in the mind, you are the first victim of your defilement. You harm yourself and then only you harm others. Pubbe hanati attanam paccha hanati sopare. Great discovery. Before that, nobody could think of it. Even this thought was there that if I harm somebody, I will get a bad result later on in next life or something. You are getting misery now itself. That was a new thing, a right thing, correct thing, unknown to the world, unknown to the human society, and he brought before them. You are harming yourself. As soon as you generate a defilement in the mind, you become miserable, bound to become miserable. Now, mere giving this sermon will not have helped. If Buddha just kept on saying, oh, you are harming yourself before you harm others, people will say, what, I am not harming, how am I harming myself? Just because he says, I agree. Oh no. Then he gives a teaching. Understand how you harm yourself. Then this step of samadhi. Samadhi was there. Different kinds of samadhis were there. Even the Bodhisattva Siddhartha Gautama, before becoming Buddha, learned samadhis which were prevalent there, 8 jhanas. But he found it defective. And then he discovered the proper way of samadhi. What's proper way of samadhi? If the samadhi is meant only to get the mind concentrated, there are many methods by which you can get the mind concentrated. But the purpose of samadhi is to take the next step of panya, wisdom. And when you take the next step of panya, your mind should be so sharp, should be so sensitive, that you can feel sensations in your body. A wonderful discovery. Now the research that we are making, in our CD-ROM, we started with all the Pali literature. Tathapitikas, Attakathas, Tikas, Anuttikas, etc. Complete all Pali literature. And then we started input of the Mahayana also, Sanskrit literature. And then we started all the Vedic literature, the Vedas, the Upanishad, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, all there. And then we started inputting of the Mahavir's teaching. So with the complete literature of India of the ancient days, we can make a comparative study very perfectly, very perfectly. This word, Vedana, is missing. Before Buddha, nobody knew about this body sensation. There was no discussion, there was no talk, there was no teaching about body discussion. body sensation. What body sensation? Body sensations are there. When I sit for a long time, there is pain. When I am hurt in the body, there is a pain. So what? When there is heat, I feel miserable, unpleasant sensation. So what? Sensation of the body play a very important role. That was the discovery of Buddha. As I said the other day, Talaitan Pachaya Phasa. The six sense doors, they come in contact with the six sense objects, and then Phasa Pachaya Vedana, there is bound to be a sensation. As soon as there is a contact, there is a sensation in the body, which is pleasant. When we give valuation to the object that has come, as good, very good, this object is very good. Shape or form or sound or smell, whatever the sensual object is, very good, the sensation is bound to become very pleasant. And when we give the valuation, this is very bad, the sensation becomes unpleasant. This is the reality. Not creation of Buddha. This is law of nature, unknown to the people, and he found out. And as soon as you experience a body sensation which is pleasant, your habit pattern is that you start reacting with craving, clinging. And as soon as you experience a sensation which is unpleasant, your habit pattern is that you start reacting with aversion, hatred. Vedana Pachaya Tanha. The word Tanha contains both craving as well as aversion. You crave for something which is pleasant, and you crave for something unpleasant to be away from you. You want to get rid of it. That's also a craving. So dvesha, dosa and lobha, both are there. And they depend on the sensations. You want to come out? Which people agreed. Even before Buddha, it was clear. You should not have raga, you should not have dvesha. That means you should not have lobha, you should not have dosa. This is very harmful. Yes, very harmful. But nobody knew that when you generate raga or lobha or when you generate dosa, you become miserable then and there. That nobody knew. And nobody knew that this lobha and dosa arise because of the sensation on the body. A great discovery, a wonderful discovery, a key to open the gateway of liberation, of nibbana. This body sensation plays such an important part, and that is why he announces kāyikaṁ sukhaṁ, kāyikaṁ dukhaṁ, phal samāpattiya. Pachayena pachayo. This is the reason. Kāyika dukha and kāyika sukha takes you to nibbāna. The declaration of Buddha. How it takes to nibbāna? Because when you are ignorant of this kāyika dukha and kāyika sukha, you keep on reacting with craving aversion, you are far away from nibbāna. And by the training of vipassana, you have to train, first you have to develop the faculty to feel the sensations. It is very easy to feel sensations which are very gross, solidified, intensified, like pain, like pressure, like heaviness, like heat. Very easy. Anybody can say, yes, I feel it. But there are hundreds of different types of sensation going on. Some are so subtle, mere oscillation. How can you feel that? Unless your mind becomes not only concentrated, your mind also becomes very sensitive to feel everything within the framework of the body. This is one part of panya, one part of vipassana. Second part is, when you feel it, then understand the nature of this sensation. What is the characteristic of this sensation? And you will notice every sensation has the same characteristic, arising, passing away. No sensation is eternal. When you come across very gross, solidified sensation, it arises, seems to stay for some time, but sooner or later passes away. And when you come in contact with very subtle sensations like vibrations, same characteristic, it arises, passes away. A wavelet arising, passing, with great rapidity, with high velocity. But the characteristic remains the same. If one starts practicing this, very soon, maybe in a few days, one reaches the stage where the entire solidity is gone. All these gross sensations, heaviness, pain, pressure, solidified sensations, intensified sensations, they start getting dissolved. Naturally, because your mind is equanimous, you are just observing, and equanimous mind is so powerful, the panya becomes so penetrating, piercing, disintegrate. The entire solidity gets dissolved, disintegrated, and the entire physical structure, no solidity. At the apparent level, yes, the body is solid, but at the actual level, there is no solidity at all. There is no solidity in the entire material world. It appears to be so. But at the ultimate level, mere wavelets. It was a great discovery. 26 centuries back, understand, such a great scientist, without the help of any modern scientific apparatus or instruments, with his own experience, with the insight, he realizes, Sabbo pajjalito loko, sabbo loko pakampito. The entire universe is mere vibration, combustion and vibration. Our scientists of the West came to this truth only 1.5 centuries back, and that also with the help of so many instruments. I am not here to condemn the modern science, nor the modern scientist. But see the big difference. A modern scientist also says that there is no solidity in the entire material world. They are mere wavelets. What does it help? It can give some good information to the intellect. So what? How can it help us to come out of our misery? Here is somebody who has experienced himself to reach that stage, mere prakampan, mere vibration, and reaching that stage, the mind gets purified. The whole purpose is to purify the mind, to come out of the bondage of craving, aversion. If you don't feel sensations yourself, how will you know that you are reacting with craving or reacting with aversion? It is only at the intellectual level or at a very gross level. When a certain thing has happened outside and you don't like it and you generate anger. Oh, I generated anger because somebody insulted me, somebody abused me. You never understand that you are not generating anger because somebody abused you or insulted you or something undesirable has happened in your life. At the apparent level, yes, it is true, but at the actual level, when that undesirable thing happened outside, it came in contact with your sense too. And there was a sensation. And that sensation was unpleasant. Then only you reacted to anger. So you don't know the cause of your anger, real cause of your anger. How can you come out of anger? This habit pattern of generating anger, things will keep on happening outside, pleasant, unpleasant. And you keep on reacting without knowing that you are reacting not to the outside object, you are reacting to the body sensations. Great contribution of this great scientist. So the samadhi takes you to the stage, real samadhi, samadhi taught by the enlightened one. If we work according to the steps given by the enlightened one, very soon we reach the stage where the mind starts feeling sensations throughout the body. Every particle of the body, every fiber of the body, every atom of the body, there is sensation, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then you start realizing, look, I'm reacting. A sensation is there. a pleasant sensation, look, craving started. Lobha started. Unpleasant sensation, look, aversion started. You are working at the root level of your mind. You are working at the root level of your misery. This is where your wholesome or unwholesome action starts. And you never knew what is the root, where it starts. You must go to the root. Buddha said there is a poisonous tree, a huge poisonous tree, poisonous tree. Every fruit is poisonous, flower is poisonous, the leaves are poisonous, the twigs are poisonous, every fiber is poisonous. You have to get rid of it. You cut it off and throw it away. You think, I have got rid of it. Roots are there. Another poisonous tree will come, not only one, many will come. Take away the roots. Unless you dig out the roots of your misery, you are never liberated from misery. All those other things to come out of lobha, come out of dosha, at the intellectual level, at the surface level, we are prevailing in the country, prevailing in the world. Go to the roots. And the roots are the sensations. Vedana paccaya tanaha. Your reaction of craving and aversion is towards the sensations. And you don't know what sensation you are having. Then how will you know how you are reacting to sensations? You will always think, I am reacting to outside object. Then you will try to rectify things outside. Everything must happen according to my wishes, my desire, my dreams. Then I am quite happy and I am not reacting. There is no anger. All your efforts are to rectify others, to rectify things outside. No effort is made to rectify yourself. And that effort will be possible only when you start feeling sensations and understand what I am doing. Look, I am reacting. I am generating craving. I am generating aversion. And as soon as you generate aversion, you have to understand, what is this, what I am doing? The sensation is not permanent. It arises to pass away, it arises to pass away. Look, it is arising, passing, not eternal. Something which is not eternal, so very ephemeral, which is the reason to pass away sooner or later. What is the sense to react with craving or with aversion? That wisdom that comes is panya, is real wisdom. His teaching, the Satipatthana Sutra, mind and matter. You have to realize the truth of mind and matter. The matter, kaya anupashana, and the sensations on that, vedana anupashana, chitta anupashana, the mind. And what the mind contains is dhamma, dhamma anupashana, mind and matter. Mind and matter. And when you talk of Dhamma, when you talk of mind, another reality was discovered by him. Vedana samosarana sabbe dhamma. Sabbe dhamma vedana samosarana. Whatever Dhamma arises, that means whatever arises in the mind, good, bad, anything, a thought or an emotion, anything that arises, it arises with a sensation on the body. So in all the four, when you work with kaya, no imagination. He was totally against imagination. Yatha bhuta jnana darsanam. Not yatha kalpit, yatha bhut. Not yatha krit. You have not to create anything. Natural reality about the body and the sensation on the body. Natural reality about the mind and the contents of the mind. All the four can be realized with the feeling of sensation. He gives very clear instructions. All the four satipatthana I am teaching so that you can feel sensations properly. I am teaching this sensation because you can practice all the four satipatthana properly. So strongly he defines his teaching, so clearly defines his teaching. My Eightfold Noble Path is for you to become perfect in the knowledge of, in the experience of sensations. Sensation plays such an important part in the teaching of Buddha. And if you miss that, then we are practicing things which were before Buddha or after Buddha, not Buddha's teaching. We have to work with sensations. Sensations are the cause of our misery, and sensations observed equanimously, understanding their nature becomes the cause of our liberation. The avijja is that we don't know what is happening. The ignorance is that we don't know that we are harming ourselves. What more ignorance there can be? Biggest ignorance in the world, that I keep on harming myself. I don't want to harm myself, and yet every moment I am harming myself, because every moment there is some sensation or the other, and every moment there is a reaction of craving, aversion, craving, aversion. I am tying knots after knots, knots after knots, Gordian knots, bondage after bondage, bondage after bondage. And at the intellectual level, I want to come out of misery. I want to come out of all the bondages. What am I doing for that? I have to reach that stage. So samadhi was to take you to the stage where you start feeling sensations. If you work exactly as you wanted us to work, breath, nothing but breath. Never make it breathing exercise. Don't try to control the breath. There is another technique going on, which was going on in those days also, called pranayama, where you control the breath, you regulate the breath. It has got its own benefit. We are not here to condemn other techniques. It has benefits. Benefits to keep your body healthy, but nothing to do with Buddha's teaching. He wants you to observe the reality as it is, not created reality. Not created reality. So breath as it is. If it is deep, it is deep. If it is shallow, it is shallow. Left nostril, left nostril. Just observe. Do nothing. Yatha bhuta, as it has happened. As it, you are aware. You are aware of the reality as it is. As it is. No imagination is allowed. No visualization is allowed. No imposition of this philosophy or that philosophy is allowed. Truth, nothing but truth. When you are with the breath, nothing but truth. That means nothing but breath. Coming in, going out, coming in, going out. And the area he has given below the nostrils, above the upper lip. And he called it Uttarottasya Vemajjapadese. The upper lips, middle part of the upper lip. It's a very important nerve center. He's a great scientist. He knows all about the physical structure and mental structure. So gives importance to this. And as you keep on concentrating your mind here, your mind becomes sharper and sharper, more and more sensitive, starts feeling sensations within, in some cases, within 2 days, within 3 days, you start getting sensations here. And the mind is now sharp. So you start feeling the whole body from the top of the head to the tips of the toes, from the tips of the toes to the top of the head, throughout the body you have got sensations, sensations, sensations. Initially you come across solidified sensations, intensified sensations, pain, pressure, etc. But as you keep on observing and try to keep your mind equanimous, don't react. Old habit was reacting. I try not to react. This is impermanent. This is anicca. This is changing. So no reaction. More and more your mind becomes established in equanimity. It becomes again sharper and sharper. Then the process of dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving starts, and within a few days you reach the stage where the entire body is nothing but mass of kalapas, particles, atoms. Look again, 26 centuries back, without the help of any scientific instrument, he realizes the truth that the entire material world is made of kalapas, tiny little atoms, so tiny, invisible. And this tiny little atom is also not solid, no solidity. This also keeps on arising, passing. Wavelet, anicca, anicca. If we accept all this at the intellectual level, oh, our Buddha was so great. Look, he realized that the entire material world is mere atom. And he realized this is all changing, arising, passing, pakampito, only way. What do you gain? Simply enhancing our ego. How what do you gain by that? But when you start experiencing it, yes, this is what Buddha wanted. Then it becomes bhavanamaya panya. When you started experiencing the sensations, you have taken the proper step. And you are experiencing the sensation, pleasant, unpleasant, and you are trying to keep your mind neutral. You are trying to keep your mind equanimous. No reaction. The moment when you are equanimous, without craving, without aversion, that moment is so valuable for you. Because you are coming out of the old habit of craving and aversion, moment by moment, doesn't matter. In the whole hour sitting, you may get few moments when you are really equanimous, doesn't matter, a big gain. Those few moments are bound to become few seconds, are bound to become few minutes. A time will come, the entire hour you are sitting will be your equanimous, no more craving, no more aversion. You are changing your habit pattern at the root level. Then the outside world also, when you come across things outside, anything has happened, first thing, you'll feel sensations. Somebody has abused, somebody, you feel sensations, unpleasant sensation. Oh, I should not react. Then, with very soft language, with all the love and compassion, you explain this person that you are harming yourself. Have compassion for this person. You now experience with the sensations that whenever I generate anger or hatred towards anybody, whenever I abuse somebody or insult somebody with anger or hatred, I become miserable. This burning sensation in the whole body, palpitation increases, tension gets built up, I am harming myself. Oh, this person, he is abusing, he is insulting, he is very angry, burning. Person who is burning, you don't want to throw petrol on that person. You feel like throwing some cold water on that person. The whole attitude will change. The life will change. You are happy. You don't make others unhappy. You keep others also happy. This is the way of Buddha's teaching. You have to be aware of what is happening within you. This is much more important. People come to me because they have heard that by Vipassana, they can get out of the addiction. Many people addicted to liquor, alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to tobacco, whatever it is, they come. Goenkaji, I have heard that with your technique, the addiction goes away. Not my technique, this is Buddha's technique. The addiction goes away. You have got some miracle powers by which, look, this deep alcoholic people, they go, I am an alcoholic, I have tried so many ways, I want to come out of it, please help. First thing I tell him, you are not addicted to alcohol. This is the wrong impression that you have. You are not addicted to alcohol. It appears to be so. This is only apparent truth. The real truth is, you are addicted to the sensation on your body, which you experience when you take alcohol. As soon as you take alcohol, there is a sensation in the body. And your mind starts liking it. And the mind starts craving for it. I want the same sensation. And the mind knows that when you take more alcohol, you get the same sensation, you're more alcoholic. And once you learn how to observe these sensations equanimously, don't react with craving, don't react with craving, the addiction towards the sensation goes away. The addiction towards the alcohol or drug goes away so easily. A wonderful technique given by him, a very scientific technique which works. Hard criminals in the jails. A challenge was given to me by a very saintly person in India. When I went from here, I think it was the second year or so, I gave a course at Mahatma Gandhi's place in Sevagram. Very elderly people, his comrades and all, they participated. They were so happy. It gives result, because it gives result. Intellectually, whatever we say is also in the Hindu tradition. What is new? Sila, Samadhi, Panya is there. But when they practice, then they find this is what was missing. Without practice, we can't get the real benefit of this teaching. So they pressed me to see a great disciple of Mahatma Gandhi, Vinoba Bhave, a saintly person. They took me there. I was also eager to meet the saintly people in the country, all religious people in the country I met, I discussed. He didn't believe. How can there be a technique to change the mind of the people? To make people more and more dhammic, to come out of all these impurities of the mind. He said, I can't believe it. It's only the grace of the God by which somebody can be liberated. I said, sir, I have tried and I got benefit myself. And then hundreds of people have tried and they get benefit. Then he gave me a challenge. If the hard criminals in the jails, if by this technique, if they are changed, their mind is changed, then yes, I will accept the efficacy of this technique. Very indisciplined students in the schools and colleges, if they change, then only I will accept. These two challenges were given. I said, I am new to this country. You arrange the courses, I'll go and serve. So he arranged a course for the students. Wonderful results came. So very indisciplined, rowdy students, how they changed in just one 10-day course. Total change. He was amazed. Then he said, prisoner, all right, have a course in prison. And he fixed a course in Gaya prison. It could not happen because the rules and regulation of the prison do not allow me to remain there during night. I must be present there from morning 6 o'clock to night 9, evening 6 o'clock. I must go out. No. I must be there all the 24 hours because the whole technique is nothing but a surgical operation of the mind. Very deep-rooted, what Buddha said, anusaya, very deep-rooted complexes start coming on the surface. Apparently, one say, I have got no anger, no hatred, but deep inside you got stock of anger from so many lives or even in this life, and all that accumulated by this technique, they come up. And they come up in sensations, unpleasant sensations. The teacher teaches you, observe, just observe, do nothing, just observe. It becomes weaker, weaker, passes away. This is vipassana. And if I am not there, something starts even at the night time on a student, and I can't give guidance. It may go wrong, this man may go to lunatic asylum. I am responsible for that. No, I must be there. Give me some punishment and keep me also 10 days in the jail. Not possible, so it could not be done. After another 3 years or so, a secretary, home secretary of a government, state government, Rajasthan, he participated. He said, this is so scientific and this is so rational. This is so non-sectarian. It is so good for our country. The government is secular government and does not give preference to this community, this religion or that religion. This suits us very well. This must spread in our country. I said, yes, it must spread. But look, I have got a challenge for Vinobaji. By that time, Vinobaji has passed away. I have got a challenge from Vinobaji. That result must come with the hard criminals. You are home secretary. Jails are under you. Why not change your rule for me especially? Change it. And have a course there. Let us see. He went to the chief minister, discussed with him. Chief minister changed the rules for two courses. Two courses were given. Wonderful results came. And then the courses after courses started, not only in India, but around the world now. Why? What happens? People keep on giving sermons there. Leaders of different religion will come every week to give sermons to their followers. In the jail, there are people of different religions. No effect. Effect is for some time and then they are the same. Some time but then they are the same. Why vipassana makes a big change? Understand? Because the technique is such. They work as I ask them to work, observe the breath, within 3 days they get sensation. Now they start getting sensation everywhere in the body. Fifth day or sixth day, I ask them, what sort of thoughts are going on in your mind? Thoughts are going. They have not become thoughtless. Thoughts are going. They say, most of the time, the thought is thought of revenge. Revenge. When I go out of this prison, when I am released from the prison, I will kill so-and-so. That fellow who gave witness against me. I will kill that policeman who caught me. I will kill that judge who gave this judgment. Revenge, anger, hatred. I say, now whenever this thought comes, try to feel the sensations. And they say, when this thought comes, this burning sensation in the body. You never observe what is happening within yourself. When you are thinking, you forget your sensations. And now you feel, oh, this burning sensation in the body. Tension is there. I am miserable. Whether you be able to kill anybody or not, take revenge. Maybe after years together you will be released and then you will take revenge. But you are killing yourself now. You are killing your own peace and harmony now. What you are doing? And they start realizing this is wrong. This kind of thought is wrong. This kind of intention is wrong. This kind of planning is wrong. Because all the thoughts, the action starts with the mind. The action has started. You may kill somebody later on, doesn't matter. But the killing action has started, anger has started, hatred has started. You are harming yourself. Nobody wants to harm oneself. Nobody wants to live in this misery of this sensation, unpleasant sensation. Slowly, they start changing their habit pattern. They start changing. This is how people change. Not only people in the prison, I say, those who are behind those four walls of prison, they are not only the only prisoners. Those who are outside, they are also prisoners. Everyone is a prisoner of one's own unwholesome habit pattern of the mind. Keeps on generating impurity, keeps on harming oneself and harming others by this technique given by the enlightened one. Learn how to observe sensations. Learn how to observe sensation. You will change your habit pattern at the experiential level, because every time you observe sensation with the understanding that, look, it is changing, you come out of your old habit of craving and aversion. And more you come out of your habit of craving and aversion, more and more you are coming out of misery. Every time you are doing that, you are liberating yourself. Buddha's words are so clear. He was more interested to purify totality of it, that means anusaya. At the deep, so-called unconscious mind, there is this habit pattern of generating craving, aversion. He says, with the help of pleasant sensation, with the help of pleasant sensation that you feel on the body, the sukha vedana, with the help of sukha vedana, eradicate, root out all the anusayas of craving, raga anusaya. Root them out with pleasant sensation. And with the help of the unpleasant sensation, root out the aversion, the anusaya of aversion. A wonderful technique he has given, the way he has given, but one has to work. Mere listening to these discourses will not help. Listening to these discourses will give you inspiration, will give you guidance, but you have to work. You have to liberate yourself. Nobody else can do that. Even Buddha says, Tumi hi kichang atappang akha taro tathagata. A Buddha will only show the path. You have to liberate yourself. You have to work out your own salvation. Good that Syadophaya is building a wonderful university where Pariyatti and Patipatti both will be taught. Make use of this technique here or anywhere. Now throughout the world, Vipassana has started being taught. There are centers around the world. Make use of it. Those who are practicing should strengthen their practice to reach the final goal as early as possible. And those who are not yet started practicing, please start. Not obliging others, for your own good, for your own benefit. Start as early as possible. Learn this technique. Learn where the misery starts. Go to the root of your misery. Go to the root of the cause of your misery and eradicate that cause and come out of misery. May all of you make best use of the teaching of the Enlightened One. May all of you come out of your misery. May all of you enjoy real peace, real harmony, real happiness. Bhavatu sabbamangalam. Bhavatu sabbamangalam. Bhavatu sabbamangalam.